A yard is a tract of ground adjacent to a building or a set of buildings. In the United States, more yards are attached to single-family homes than to any other type of building. The properly groomed yard has several standard features. The most extensive is the lawn, which is a collection of grasses cropped to give a controlled look and a smooth feel. Another feature is trees, arranged in relation to the house and to each other in such a way that they provide a look of nature without shading out the grass. Nearer the house are what specialists call foundation plantings, usually small shrubs that ring the base of the building and encourage the sense that the house itself is natural. Often some of the foundation plantings are evergreens, which can be used for both vertical and horizontal accents. Sometimes flowers border the foundation plantings, adding an element of color to the composition. Sometimes, too, Americans complement these living elements with decorations like fences, sculptures, or bird feeders. Few American homes, especially in the suburbs, are without these elements. When, for example, was the last time you saw an American home without a lawn? When did you last see a house with a lawn, but no trees, or a fully forested yard? When did you last see a house's entire foundation because there were no foundation plantings? In the course of the last half century, Americans have uprooted the natural places that suburbs are typically named for, Eden Prairie, or Apple Valley, or Rich Field, in favor of what we might call the suburban universal style. The general uniformity of these plantings is remarkable and leads Dr. America to wonder what this horticulture tells us about American culture. What are the functions of these elements? The grass, he knows, is to create a surface for people to play on. But then even people who never go into the yard maintain lawns. Trees can shade buildings, and their respiration creates cool microclimates. But then Americans plant fewer shade trees than ornamental varieties, and even then too far from the house to contribute to energy efficiency. Foundation plantings do anchor the soil and absorb water that otherwise might make it into the basement. But then Americans often add water to maintain these plants, adding to the house's moisture problems. Fences might once have corralled livestock or children, but many suburban fences are more atmospheric than practical, consisting of a few lengths of split rail fence at the corner. Bird baths and feeders attract the birds, but so might the plants of the natural habitat that was eliminated in the name of suburban sprawl. So why do we plant these things, and why do we work so hard to maintain them? Why don't we go natural with our plantings? Why do we go cultural instead with this suburban universal look? In a provocative book called The Culture of Nature, Alexander Wilson suggests that we are unconsciously mimicking the woodland edge, where different plant communities come together to create one of the richest ecological niches in nature. Without knowing it, we are symbolically invoking the rich diversity of nature that sustained our ancestors. When pioneers moved west in American history, they almost always settled first on the woodland edge because it provided fertile environments for farming and hunting and food gathering, for building materials and firewood and water. The suburban yard is a fertile environment for symbolism, but it is, in fact, merely an ecologically impoverished landscape designed to look like one of nature's richest resources. We also create these landscape compositions because we are echoing an aesthetic of landscape painting in which trees were routinely used to frame a lake or an opening. They are variations on a pastoral theme of peace and plenty in nature. The suburban yard, then, is not just a playground. It's both a historical illusion and an artwork. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, noting that the symbolic yard is also a significant pain in the back.